Thank you for tuning in to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong, a witty take on today's issues between what often sounds like an old married couple, but we're actually two psychologists who will hash it out day in and day out, looking at today's relationships, politics, and everything in between. Thank you again for tuning in to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong. The doctors are in. Let's begin. Thank you for joining us for She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong. The doctors are in, a podcast. My name is Dr. Sabrina Khan, and you are?
Dr. Tombaqui Bailey.
Affectionately known to me as Bilal, and we are two Black psychologists who'll be discussing everything from politics to relationships and everything in between. Thank you for listening. Take it away, Bilal.
All right, Sabrina. It's our next episode. We're talking about the holidays. In this episode, we're talking about holidays are tough. So, Sabrina, go ahead. Take it away.
Okay. So I thought it was a good discussion to have, not necessarily our usual upbeat or argumentative time together this evening, Bilal. However, I think it's important to really talk about specifically how tough the holidays can be for people. You know, especially in our profession, Bilal, that this is the time of the year where oftentimes you see a lot of mood shifts in people. People are really extremely joyful. They're in the Christmas spirit, if that's how they celebrate. They're excited about, you know, the holidays based on maybe getting together with family or whatever gifts they may be giving or getting, or what you're going to give me, Bilal. Whatever it is. But what I'll say is that, you know, this is a time of the year that people often get very excited. But just as they get excited, it also can be tough for people. And a lot of sadness sometimes comes up. You know, people have heard of the holiday blues and, you know, it can be a tough time of the year. And really, I thought it would be important for us to kind of talk through a few of those really tough things that sometimes come up during the holidays, and then we can kind of unpack those things thereafter. Is that good for you, Bilal, tonight?
Yeah, no, I think this is an important episode. You know, we like to have a lot of fun, but for people to understand, just like you talked about those holiday blues, it's really important to understand what may be some of those triggers or when it's happening, and then really start to think about how do we work through it. So as challenging of an episode as this can be tonight, I think it's still good that we're having the conversation. So go ahead, Sabrina, lead us through it.
All right. So here we go. So the number one thing I think that can be tough during the holidays is the loss of loved ones, obviously via death. So it could be, you know, a loss that's happened this year. As we know, living through this pandemic over the last couple of years, there's been a lot of death, unfortunately, that has come about. But also, too, is if we just watch, you know, kind of what's happening culturally for us right now, there are a lot of people transitioning away from this world in that way. So again, lots of deaths. It could be current or it could be years past, you know, people that have lost significant loved ones. It could be, you know, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 30 years ago. And something about the holidays kind of brings back those feelings, particularly of missing those individuals. Maybe there were better times when those individuals were around. And, you know, for a lot of people, and families, and particularly families of color, holidays typically are driven by one or two people. So it might be the matriarch of the family or the patriarch of the family. But a lot of times holidays are associated with, you know, fond memories from one particular person. So I think that that's one thing. The next thing I think is the loss of romantic relationships around this time of year. If you think about kind of what that means, you know, if you were in a significant relationship or maybe a marriage or something like that, and this may be your first holiday where that person is not going to be a part of the celebration for that year, that can be tough, especially if it's the first time you're seeing family and friends. Maybe people don't know what your status change is. People don't know that maybe this person is not going to be there. They might start asking questions about, you know, well, where is such and such? And then you kind of have to relive or rehash maybe the breakup. So that's tough around this time of year.
So when the relatives ask, you know, where's Lisa? Where's Tony? How should I respond?
Well, it depends on what relative is asking, because if it's a relative that you care about, then maybe you want to tell them the truth. If it's someone that you don't care about, you may say, pass me the pie and keep going. So it just depends on who it is. But we'll unpack that,
good to know,
you know, a little bit later. But just a couple more things that I thought points wise that sometimes happen at the holidays. And another big thing is the loss of employment. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if, you know, depending on what field you're in, but the fourth quarter of the year typically is a high layoff time for mm-hmm. jobs. So sometimes people will get their quote unquote pink slip along with their holiday bonus sometimes. So people are going into the holidays, maybe having lost significant employment or maybe lost a role or a position or things of that sort. And now maybe the holidays financially can be more challenging. Even if they didn't lose it fourth quarter, you could have lost your job in the summertime, but now you're coming up to the holidays and you may not have the income that you once had to be able to support, you know, preparing for the holidays the way you've done in seasons past. And then I think the loss of overall holiday spirit, particularly for parents. You know, when kids are little, I think it's hard not to be excited about the holidays because the kids bring the joy. They bring the excitement. However, if you've launched your children and they're now adults, you know, if you don't have any grandchildren yet, you know, you may be an older person who's now living alone. You know, the holiday spirit may be a little harder to come by because there's nobody around kind of assuring that joy shows up at your house. So for some people, it's just not the same, you know, once the children grow up or once they leave the house or something of that sort. I mean, I've known adults who don't even put any decorations up at all, just simply because, you know, they may feel like, well, my children are in their 20s, they're in their 30s now. And, you know, I only did that for them, for example. So anyway, these are some of the areas that I think can be really tough for the holidays. And I don't know that we'll be able to cover them fully in this episode, but I do have a few questions for you, Bilal, if I may. Not that I have to ask you for permission to do anything, but but I did think that I would start with, you know, why would you say the holidays are so tough and such a chronic reminder for people that are no longer with us?
Yeah. Well, Sabrina, you really hit on the head earlier when you were talking about the loss of loved ones, is that the holidays is a time where people come together with family, whether it's physical or last couple of years, virtual for some. It still is a time of remembering families coming together. And so because of that, then when people experience the loss, that they're also experiencing or remembering that loss because they're remembering those loved ones, those family members for whom aren't with them at that moment. Mm-hmm. And so that's what really makes it tough. You know, as you said, sometimes it's the first holiday since the person has passed, and it may be the 14th or 15th holiday, but the person is still remembering the loss of that individual. Mm-hmm. And so oftentimes these type of events for a lot of people become the triggers. And so when we start thinking about then how holidays may impact people who are already dealing with various mental health and substance abuse concerns, that we talk about the holiday blues, because people attempt to then deal with it. And they often don't deal with it by going to their therapist. They deal with it sometimes self-medicating, sometimes getting out of the house, being away from the family, isolating themselves, overworking. So they don't have to, you know, so they don't have to come home. They don't have to be there with the family when the family's coming. They have to automatically go in the next day after Christmas or on New Year's Day or whatever the case may be when their offices may be closed. So I think this is part of that process of it being kind of a tough reminder.
Well, you know, it's funny when you said self-medicating, the first thing that I thought about was drinking.
Yeah. I mean, it's not a surprise that, you know, the eggnog is full, whatever people put in it, and that people are celebrating it. The alcohol flows with the holidays because that's how people manage for many people. It's celebration for many. And for some, it is a way of self-medicating.
Yes. Right.
But there are a lot of different ways people self-medicate. People exercise a lot. So again, I don't have to be at home with my family. I'm staying at work later. All these things that may happen around the holidays that allows a person to escape from the pain of that loss.
Absolutely. And one other thing I thought about too, Bilal, is that, you know, a lot of times holidays are affiliated with a certain person or a certain loved one. So you'll think about people say, well, you know, there was nothing like Christmas at Big Mama's house. You know, she had the full spread of food. She always had a gift for whoever came through the door, which I always found amazing. How did you know who was coming over and how many gifts did you buy? Really?
Yeah, right. Right.
You know, but I think, you know, and then once Big Mama is gone, you know, maybe the family doesn't want to organize in the same way, or you know, people don't get together in the same way, or people find really there's no reason to continue the celebration because Big Mama kind of was the celebration.
Yeah, that was the anchor. Yeah, that person being the anchor in the family.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, I think you have that. And then you also have, you know, like you said, people isolating and, you know, and maybe, you know, depending on what kind of house you grew up in, the holiday sometimes can be tough because it's the one time when all the family is together in one place and everybody knows that Uncle Bobby and Uncle Sean are going to be arguing. And after a few too many drinks, they're going to be in a fist fight on the floor. So with that, you know, that can be challenging. That can be tough, you know, because, you know, this is the one time a year that Aunt Susie reminds you that you've put on weight since last year. Or Aunt Susie reminds you that you still don't have a man. And why are you here yet again, you know, without somebody? Or, you know, well, what happened to that, you know, that girlfriend you brought last year? And, you know, she wasn't that cute anyway, but, you know, whatever it was. But it's often time where people share maybe more intimate details with you than you care to hear. And the family criticism comes out, particularly from some of our elder type relatives. And then again, you know, after the drinks are flowing and things of that sort. So, you know, don't be the one that cut too large of a piece of the pie because it's, you know, you need to be watching that waistline anyway. Why are you cutting such a big piece? So
I'm cutting the pie. I'm cutting the pie. If I'm feeling sad already, I'm cutting pie.
Right.
I'm cutting pie.
Exactly. But I think that those are, you know, kind of important reminders as well of what makes it tough. But something else I think is important to talk about, Bilal, is why do you think the holidays are such a common time for breakups?
All right. Okay.
Now, I know you got a story about that, at least one or two.
All right. Here I am. Now you're talking my language.
Right.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, in the previous podcast, we talked about that it's also during the holidays where people bring their partners for the first time to meet their families.
Right. So not partners, booze, remember?
Oh, booze. I'm sorry, booze. That's right. The booze. Thank you. Booze. I brought my boo. I brought my boo. But I think it's a weird juxtaposition where for some, the holidays is this this new period, this excitement. I'm bringing my partner home. And also during the holidays, we see that there are a lot of people who are mourning the loss of relationships. And so I think that it's just this really interesting relationships that's there. So I'm going to share a little bit about me right now. So first, let me say,
get your coffee or your whatever you drink while listening to us. Go ahead.
My birthday is in January. Okay. So it's a national holiday for me. I don't know about everybody else.
We've never heard of that date, but go ahead. Keep going.
But if we start thinking about the holidays, my family, predominantly Black family, growing up, mm-hmm. we celebrated Thanksgiving. We went into the to the winter season. So mm-hmm. did a little bit of Hanukkah, mm-hmm. a little bit of Christmas, a little mm-hmm. Kwanzaa, mm-hmm. New Year. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a lot of celebrating in December. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My birthday's in January. So it basically makes the whole month a national holiday.
Well, yawn, that's boring. Keep going.
Uh-huh. Then we have Valentine's Day in February.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So if I don't break up before the holidays,
uh-oh.
I'm in here this relationship till February 14th, 15th. Yes. So yes. I gotta assess the situation. Okay. So
this already sounds suspect. Keep going. Mm-hmm.
So there was one relationship. I had to make the choice. I did the math in my head. I said, if I don't break up now, I'm in this thing until about middle of February.
Yeah.
And so I just disappeared right before Christmas.
And,
I think we call it ghosting today. Yes. Then it was just a fade to black.
Right. Slash shady, but go ahead.
Very shady. Yes. So I don't know what happened on her end, but on my end, they, you know, my family said, what happened to such and such? I said, pass the pie. Is that what you said? I should say. So that's what I did. And another one, I missed my cutoff. Mm-hmm. Plus I'd asked for some jeans.
Uh-huh.
And I was hoping to get those jeans for Christmas. I know it sounds bad.
Right.
Sounds uh-huh. bad. So in that instance, I didn't break up until February 15th because right. I was in the cycle at that point. I had yes. to go Christmas, New Year's. I had to get my birthday, got a yes. book that I wanted. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I didn't get the birthday present. She told me about the book. She didn't bring the book. Uh-oh. So then I was like, I was committed now to Valentine's.
Right.
So then
I
got the book on the 14th. We broke up on the 15th.
Oh, just vicious.
I was 20. Blame right. it on 20 Tom right. McQueen. But
right.
no, but I say this to say, I mean, I think that happens in relationships. I think that, or should I say, I was also considering money too, because I was like, if I'm going to break up, I don't want to buy Christmas gifts. I'll just do that right. for New Year's.
Right.
You go to buy some tickets to the New Year's party. That's too much right. money wasted. Too much wasted. Yes. So you got to break up before.
Right.
So everybody who's listening, if you're thinking about breaking up, break up before Christmas.
Okay? No, do not try this at home, people. Please.
If you celebrate Christmas, mm-hmm. break up before Christmas.
Right. Right.
But I don't know. In all seriousness, I do think that the breakups happen before the holidays. Just to your point earlier, this person's now around my family, how do we act knowing that the relationship is not healthy anymore?
Right.
How are we around our families? How are we around? What's this interaction look like? What are some of the questions, which if you're in a long-term relationship, is when are you all becoming a permanent, whether it's marriage, you know, committed partner, living together, whatever the case may be. So I do think that some people make that decision around the holidays and then opt to end the relationship so they don't have to deal with some of those questions or some of those issues that may come up if they're still with the partner during the holidays.
What do you mean? Things like she's still not pregnant? I mean, dang, y'all get kind of old, aren't you?
Okay. Definitely that. I think the big one is, so when y'all living together, fill in the blank, right? So
exactly. Well, and let's be clear, if it's a Black family, it's when y'all get married. Okay.
Because because you can't be shacking.
We already talked Mm-mm. about that.
Yeah, we already talked about that.
Shacking, right. But, you know, I think also too that really to piggyback on what you've said, Bilal, is it's the pressure too. I think the holidays tends to be a pressure cooker for relationships. So
definitely,
if people are not committed to go through that pressure, then it's sometimes easier to try to eradicate as much as you can before the holidays enter. so that we don't have those, like you said, kind of questions, or don't have to explain, you know, you don't want to hear kind of what, you know, you don't want to hear whatever your family may want to know more intimately about your situation, especially if you feel like this is the beginning of the end, or, hey, we haven't lived together all year and maybe they didn't know that. So, you know, just I think the pressure of the holidays is oftentimes pretty common. But anyway, so for those that may be struggling as the holidays are approaching, think about what it is, you know, take the time to take care of yourself, and we'll get into some strategies sort of around the end. But moving on, something else that typically happens towards the end of the year, and I guess I'll ask you this, Bilal, which is, why do companies often choose this time of the year to do layoffs and downsizing and things?
Yeah.
You know, this is when you read these major corporations are laying off 1,000 people, you know, right before Christmas. Like, that just seems cruel to me. I'm not sure.
I mean, I think, you know, we just saw in the news what the meeting called, this company called a Zoom meeting with 900 people. And they said, if you're on the Zoom, you're fired.
What kind of foolishness was that?
Yeah, this was last week.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think it happens. I will say, and we've talked about the great resignation. And so I think this year is a little bit different with the workforce. But I'll also say it is a specific workforce where the great resignation is still there. It's not in all occupations, all aspect of working world. Right. I don't think that the leverage has shifted for everybody. I think for hourly workers, I think for gig workers, I think those challenges are still presenting themselves. But but the great resignation this year is at least in the background. But I would say in general, you know, you talked about it earlier. Companies get to the fourth quarter and they're down, and they're realizing, how do we not give these bonuses, or are we taking these new employees into the new year? And so I think all of those things can be contributive to a company laying off employees, you know, downsizing, all those things, you know, all the things you said, you know, those kind of fourth quarter reports. So just a company, not, you know, if it's a smaller company, just taking stock in where they are. And I think when that happens, then they're starting to say, how do we lean ourselves out as a company, which unfortunately means, how do we cut back individuals? And I think for many people, particularly for people who are, you know, they're not in kind of white collar jobs, quote unquote. And so hourly workers, people who are in service industry, anything that can, when the hit happens, the results are seen pretty quickly. Then I think we see that happening. And again, so we see with the holiday losses, holiday blues. And so then we see another instance where people are self-medicating. And I do want to say with the self-medicating, if I can, Sabrina, that when we're saying self-medicating, it's not just alcohol, drugs, that it's anything that people may engage in that is in excess, that's not healthy. And so self-medicating, I'm using it broadly in a more broad way. Typically, it is historically self-medicating means alcohol, drugs. But I would expand it that people overeat, they can overexercise, they can overwork, they can do a lot of things where they're engaging in behaviors that the excessiveness of that is a distraction from the loss, but it exacerbates other issues.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, one thing that I would add too is that, you know, again, back to the whole companies, you know, laying off at this time of the year. I think, too, there is something about cleaning up your books. It's typically when an analysis of the year is done. So when you look at, you know, looking at your earnings and what you may have to report to your stockholders or anything of that sort, I think, you know, companies are pushed into really deciding whether or not they want to carry debt into the new year or not. And one of the quickest cost savings options is to do a reduction in force, or a RIF, as the term is used. But I also think that, you know, for some companies, the thought is, well, people typically take time off anyway. So taking time off and letting people go, it's, I think in some ways companies look at it as, oh, I'm just giving you an extended vacation, or, you know, I'm giving you a little more time off with your families than normally you would, or I'm giving you time off that typically sits on the books normally. And now you'll have that opportunity to kind of, you know, be off a longer time with family or something like that. But usually what's interesting is that companies know a lot sooner than the time frame that they actually come to with deciding when they're going to do layoffs. So a lot of times those conversations started or were happening in the early part of the summer, yet the information doesn't get delivered until the holidays. And that's a tough time, especially if you have, you know, typically the holiday time, there are a lot of extra expenses. Maybe people have planned for them or haven't. And as a result, you know, it tends to be a drain on people financially. And then you turn around and find out that your income that you were dependent on, because I don't know very few people that aren't dependent on their income, you know, suddenly out of nowhere, they have, you know, they have this issue around, you know, maybe not being prepared, or, you know, having, you know, extra bills and things of that sort. And, you know, it's very upsetting to know that, you know, going into the new year, you may not have the money that you need to provide after all the spending you may have done for your family. So it's just tough, I think, at this time of the year to go through that experience. But one other thing, I think, just kind of moving on from that, Bilal, is, you know, why do you think that holidays, sometimes they lose their luster as people get older? Like, what happens?
Yeah, Sabrina, I think the thing you mentioned earlier, I think the empty nesters, so the kids get older. Mm-hmm. And I think the excitement around having a Christmas tree, getting gifts under there, and the joy of watching somebody getting excited and opening gifts and ripping open a racetrack and the remote control car. I think mm-hmm. all that is missed, and people easily forget it. And so the thing you said is the next generation having grandkids, or, you know, nephews and nieces and little cousins. And so I think when that doesn't happen, that people sometimes easily forget. Mm-hmm. So I think that happens for a lot of people. And I think it may lose its luster for them. you know, they're not in the relationship, their partner, you know, carried the holidays. You know, for those people who celebrate Christmas, their partners were the ones who put the trees together, who mm-hmm. were like, let's go out and let's put the tinsel up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I think when that's lost, if somebody really wasn't big at Christmas, they're not going to be big. Mm-hmm. When I left my parents' house, that in between, I wasn't married, but I'm not living at home anymore. I never had a Christmas tree.
What?
I never had a Christmas tree. If I lived by myself, I never. So Christmas, it was almost like a light switch was turned on. Mm-hmm. I would go from my apartment where there was no Christmas. I would drive to my parents' house. Then boom, Christmas happens. They have the tree, the poinsettias, you know, now. And then I'd be back in the DC, Maryland area. Shout out to home. Yeah. So now I'm listening to Donnie Hathaway on the radio, little Nat King Cole, little Chuck Brown playing the Christmas holiday songs.
Yeah.
So then it's kind of back in it. And so I think that people's living situation contributes to that lackluster. Yeah. You know, and I wasn't like, oh, it's just I was by myself. Yeah. And I wasn't getting a tree. I wasn't putting up lights around the house. And so literally it was just like a light switch from mm-hmm. my apartment to home. It's a really different situation.
And, you know, one of the things that you alluded to, I think, also, Bilal, is that in between kind of season in your life. So for example, the empty nesters, you know, your children are grown, so you don't necessarily have people excited about seeing the decorations. And then, you know, you have those people that you may have lost. So you have, you know, family that has transitioned. So they're no longer on this plane with you, literally and figuratively. Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, there may not be grandchildren yet, you know, if you do have children, or you may not be close geographically to your family anymore because, you know, whatever may be going on. And suddenly, you know, everything about holiday decorating and music and food feels more like a chore because, like you said, it may just be you, or may just be you and your spouse or your significant other or something like that. And, you know, the appeal is not the same. You know, one of the things that you mentioned earlier was the primary thing that happens in the holidays is people gather together with their family and with their friends. And if you're by yourself and that's not really an option for you, the motivation for decorating or participating in different activities is, you know, it falls on the wayside of almost non-existent. So I think it definitely can kind of lose its luster and people just kind of lose their overall appetite for it. And then one other piece I would add is that, you know, participating in the holidays is expensive. I mean, it's really, I mean, you know, there are bank accounts, you know, they have, you know, clubbed savings accounts at most banks so that you can put money aside all year long for the holidays, because, you know, typically there's more cooking, there's more shopping, there's more, you know, gift giving and more company. And, you know, so it can be really costly. And honestly, if you don't have to get involved with that and save you, you know, a couple hundred dollars, couple thousand dollars, however much you're used to spending, you know, there's an appeal to that. Like, hey, nobody's coming to my house. I don't have to cook a turkey. I can throw me some chicken wings in the oven.
That's right.
Or something like that. You know, way cheaper alternative to maybe spending $600-$700 on a dinner that, you know, you're preparing for maybe 5 to 6 people or something like that. So definitely, you know, I think can lose its luster for sure. And it'll be interesting to kind of see what happens to us as we get older, Bilal, because, you know, we have little kids.
I'm still jamming.
Right. But, you know, we
as
have
as long as I can throw me some Chuck Brown on.
That's right. That's right.
So, okay, but, Sabrina, know, I'm going to push it here. I'm going to push you.
Uh-oh.
So we're talking about this experience, the holiday blues.
Yeah.
I want you to start us off here and talk about how do people start to address these holiday blues? What can we offer in terms of how do people get through the holidays and not just survive, but thrive during the holidays, knowing that everybody's going to experience some level of these holiday blues?
Well, I think you raise a good question, and I'll talk about something that's a real disorder sort of at the end, but one of the things is I think people have to come out of denial that the holidays are coming. And I'm not suggesting that retailers should put out Christmas decorations in August like they've started.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah. Before Halloween, I saw Christmas decorations.
So. Oh, yeah. I mean, it was Labor Day and I saw Christmas trees up in stores. So, I mean, it's kind of hard to get out of the denial of it. But I also think that people have to be honest with themselves that there is a mood shift or that there is, you know, some concern about how they might feel during the holidays. So you have to prepare in advance. You know, if this is a tough time for you, I think putting some self-care immediately into practice is essential, you know, and, you know, one of the things, and I know we've talked about this kind of mixed throughout, you know, different discussions, you got to set some boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, if the one, you know, older relative that invites you for dinner every time who can't cook and then is rude to you and asks you a lot of personal and intimate questions that you don't like and you feel insulted, you know, maybe that's not the dinner invitation to accept.
Yeah, skip that house.
Right, exactly. You know, and even though she may get upset with you about not coming, I mean, she's going to, you know, berate you and talk about you while you're there. So why be present for that?
Right, right.
And have a nasty meal on top of that.
Yeah, no. And so when I hear you talking about that, it's kind of the cost and the benefit.
Yeah.
So it may be a short term cost by not going, but a long-term benefit by not having the residuals of kind of replaying all that happened in a 4 hour, 5 hour time at a relative's that was really negative and not a positive experience for you. So I hear you saying, skip the dinner. Maybe you get a little bit like, why didn't you show up? Mm-hmm. But you saved yourself 5 or 6 hours of not great time and maybe not being around some individuals who are not as supportive. So
absolutely. And then one other thing I would add is that, you know, as the weather changes around the holidays, depending on where you live in the country, and this is really for our listeners in the United States, but this happens even across the world. You know, there is a real disorder called seasonal affective disorder. You know, depending on where you are, you know, your daylight is limited. You know, if you celebrate or not celebrate, but if you come out of daylight savings time and you go back to standard time, you know, it's darker earlier. So there's already kind of natural things that your body sort of desires to do, like hibernate, like be in the house, like, you know, not being outside as much. And maybe your energy is a little lower. If you already know that that's kind of what happens to your body, it may be important to talk to your physician. You know, there are different strategies and interventions that you can use. There's special lighting that you can have in your house to help with that. Some people may need an antidepressant, you know, depending on how tough that time of the year is or how much loss they've experienced or how much their trauma gets triggered during this time of the year. So that may be important to go on a low dose of an antidepressant for the season, 3 months or something like that in preparation. And I would say definitely fill yourself up on the goodness of the friends and family that are really good for your psyche, that really contribute, that really love on you, that are there for you. You know, those are the folks that you want to hang out with and have some fun with and enjoy yourself. And, you know, go to those activities that you really want to go to and not the ones that you feel obligated to go to, you know, per se, or limit those possibilities. But really, I think it's about doing the adequate preparation for the season so that you can kind of cruise through it as opposed to dread it and then end up in it and get buried by it for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I actually want to circle back to the professional care, professional services. I think for some people going into the holidays, there may be a short-term high where they assume they want to be positive. And so all these losses, they may say, it doesn't bother me. And I think then when they get into the holiday season, it actually does. And so sometimes people stop going to therapy. They stop taking their medication because they assume that there's so much joy and excitement during the holidays that'll carry me through. And so, you know, the recommendation is stay in therapy. You know, stay on your medication regimen. And those things are the things that have been contributive, being able to process with your counselor. You're taking your medication. You're having that outlet, journaling, all those things that people may do to not stop that. I think that's something that's important, too, because that contributes to that thriving through that period. You have a tough day. You have your therapy session already scheduled. So it's not like, oh, I got to now contact my therapist and they're not going to do it. They may be on holiday. We haven't worked out a plan. You already worked out a plan. So, you know, okay, I have my therapist on Tuesday or on a Thursday or whatever the case may be. And that can also help you not just manage, but get through in a way that is positive and constructive. So I think that's a really important piece as well.
Thank you so much, Bilal. I think this discussion was really important. It was necessary. It was needed. You know, the holidays are here now. We can't deny it anymore. Obviously, you know, the major holidays are coming up over the next couple of weeks. And I would definitely encourage people to continue to, you know, spend time with their family, you know, enjoy this season, take it day by day, but also continue to do the things that have been supporting you all year long, like exercising and, you know, eating correctly and spending time with, you know, family that's supportive. Yes, exactly. In addition to obviously taking your medication and staying on your, you know, therapy regimen or whatever it is. But I think this was an important discussion. Thank you so much for having it with me. Bilal, can you take us home?
Well, can I say shout out to that, to the person I was dating in my 20s who put up with craziness.
Exactly. Right in. Let me
relationship
just tell
was
you
going
what...
end. It was going to end. It was either before Christmas or after Valentine's. That's all I got to say. No, exactly. but thank you so much for guiding us, leading us through this discussion, Sabrina. I think it's really important and powerful for people to think about these things during this time of the year.
All right. Well, with that, thank you for listening to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong, a podcast where we talk about anything from relationships to politics and everything in between. If you want to follow us further, please find us on social media at all of the mediums, starting with Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and our brand new YouTube channel. Now, our content is a little low there right now, but like and subscribe for us and we'll definitely see that we add more there. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. Thank you for listening to She's Always Right and He's Never Wrong. Please follow us on the following podcast platforms: Anchor, Spotify, and any other podcast platforms. You can also find us on social media via Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and stay tuned for our YouTube channel that's coming soon to a theater near you. Thank you.